Psalm chapter 1. Praise the Lord. And we're going to read this chapter today, Psalm chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sitters in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't know about you, but I want to make sure that I'm in the way of the righteous and not the way of the ungodly. Today I preach to us the way of the righteous, the way of the righteous. Would you ask God to speak to your heart today? Lord, help us minister, I pray, God. Let your spirit guide us, direct us, and help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, let your word go forth. Let your word go forth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your power and what you've already done in this service. I pray that you would continue to minister and help us to respond to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. We live in a generation where everything traditional is being rejected. Traditional family values. Remember those? It used to be that political candidates would be judged based on how traditional their family values were. Not so much anymore. Traditional marriage? What an attack on families and upon traditional marriage that we've seen in the last few years. Traditional ethics and morals? What are they? They've been lost for the most part in today's society. The world is bored and disgusted with anything that appears to be traditional. They seek instead a new morality to overturn the traditional in favor for the so-called modern way of doing things. Yet sadly, this new morality is really only the old immorality just dressed up. And many are walking around today in a moral fog without a compass to guide them through the modern philosophical ideas about life. Gone are the godly role models of the past. Now people take their leadership and set their goals based on television shows and music artists, celebrities, and social media icons. For a world speeding along in high gear towards destruction, these faulty sources of guidance lead people down a road of unprecedented tolerance to sin. What once would have been revolting is now not only accepted, but championed. And consequently, many today, they falsely think that things which are evil and sinful are really normal and right. And at the same time, they scorn and they mock those who are righteous as being old-fashioned and jaded. The world is full of artificial solutions for sin. Think about it with me today. If you can't overcome your past, well, don't worry. There's a pill for that. There's a psychologist to help you through whatever it is that you're going through without ever having to take responsibility for the sins that you've committed. Drug and alcohol problems do their best, but at their best, they can really only focus on the power of positive thinking without the delivering power of God. Instead of recommending old-fashioned family values and godly parenting by both a mother and a father, society tries to skirt around the real issue that's troubling our children and instead prescribes the criminal justice system. Juvenile homes are now supposed to rehabilitate what was truly lacking in the home during childhood. And instead of teaching abstinence, that's really old-fashioned. But instead now, the society works to keep abortion readily available. I tell you, our way of life, our government, our civil rights, our Constitution is based on the guiding principle that in search for our own rights, we don't tread on the rights of others. That way of thinking is lost in our society as people only want to consider what they want, especially in what they call the right of the mother to choose, while not even giving voice to the most innocent and feeble of us all, the unborn baby. In every way around biblical values that the world has schemed up, they've fallen short every single time. More people are seeking refuge in pills than ever before. Drug and alcohol problems are filled to the max. The criminal justice system is overflowing, and along with so many abortions taking place, there are more and more teenage and unwed mothers than ever before. More and more children being raised in a home without two committed parents. It's easier for our world to decriminalize crime than to enforce the laws of the land. Just make it legal, they say, and you won't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah, right. And that's the issue. That's the same thing that our society attempts to do with sin. Don't call it sin anymore. And if nothing is sinful, then society has overcome sin. If nothing is sinful, then society must have overcome sin. And ultimately, the goal of Satan and the humanistic society that we live in is to do away with sin without the Savior. Without repentance, without any change of the heart. And if sin can be done away with without the Savior, then hence there must be no need for a Savior. Where does the church stand in the middle of all this? As the coming of the Lord draws near, don't think that we in the church will be unaffected. You see the hatred and you see the anger in our society. You see the bitter rebelliousness. See the revolt against the laws of our land and the authorities which seek to uphold them. Before the Lord returns, I believe that much of that hatred and anger will be turned upon the church, upon true believers, upon the righteous who choose to live by God's word, upon those who choose traditional values and morals based upon righteousness. And it will come in such a way that it's twisted around so that we're supposedly the hateful ones because we declare that sin is wrong and we're the prejudiced ones because we won't accept lifestyles that go against the word of God and because we preach that there's a heaven and that there's a hell and that our actions and decisions are making the choice of where we go. I believe that our voice will be silenced if possible. Because we're so hateful and we're so wicked in declaring the truth. Oh, I tell you, the world is very tolerant until it comes to those who choose to walk in the way of righteousness. But man is not God. And humanism is not God. And Satan is not God. God is God. And he has established his word. Psalm 119, 89 declares, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Even if we wanted to, we can't change the word of God. Even if we were to give in to pressure from our society and refuse to declare truth, it still doesn't change it. It's forever settled. Hallelujah. The lifestyles of the righteous and the unrighteous are clearly distinguished in God's word, and the Lord will reward each accordingly. The fact is, regardless of what society says, it doesn't matter what the most followed celebrity says, regardless of what the loudest voice in media believes, the principles of the word of God and the way of righteousness, this has never been more relevant than what it is today.
The church has never had a greater opportunity to help a world gone mad with greed and sensuality and self-indulgence. What Jesus Christ taught is true and eternal. It's been tested for thousands of years, and it's been proven over and over and over again. And while the Word of God may not be popular with our world because it teaches discipline and sacrifice and righteousness, nevertheless, God's Word, it is right, it is true, it is the only hope for this world. I tell you today, Jesus Christ still delivers from sin. There is still power in truth. There is still healing for the hearts of men and women. He still fills people with peace. He still makes life worth living. Oh, thank God for the way of righteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God sees two groups of people in the world, the righteous and the unrighteous. We each need to examine our lives through the Word of God and determine where we fall. It's very black and white with God. And it has to do with our heart. Do we love Him? And if we love something more than Him, if we love our life, if we love our independence, if we love our money, if we love the things of the world, the pride of life, and so on, if we love these things more than Him, then we truly can't be considered sold out to Him. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God in mammon. We can't become righteous on our own. It takes the presence of God. It takes the moving of His Spirit. It takes true repentance. It takes daily walking with Him in truth, and trying our best to become more and more like Him every day. I tell you, it's so tragic to hear the excuses of those that have devised their own way of being saved. I tell you, we can't save ourselves. We've got to do it God's way. And it starts with submission and obedience to Him. In our text today, two paths are given. There's no third option. It's either those who are godly or those who are not. It's either those who are righteous or those who are unrighteous. There's three things listed in Psalm 1 and 1 that a righteous person does not do. First of all, the righteous do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I've come to tell you today, be careful where you get your advice from. If someone doesn't have enough wisdom to choose life over death, how reliable can their advice be on other things? We've got to have wisdom. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly have been given poor advice since the very beginning. Remember, Satan told Eve, he said, you can be your own God. You can worship yourself. And the first sin resulted. The crowd advised Aaron that they needed something to worship, and so he made them a golden calf. King Rehoboam's friends gave him poor advice, and he pushed forward unwisely until the kingdom was divided. When people listen to the counsel of the ungodly, they end up suffering the consequences. One of the wisest proverbs in Solomon, Proverbs 13 and 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We must not be the companion of fools. We need to walk with the wise who have chosen the way of righteousness. Secondly, we see in our text that those who are righteous, they do not stand in the way of sinners. A godly person isn't at ease having close relational fellowship with sinners. I want to be very clear about that. We talked earlier about the love of God. We need to have the love of God. We need to love everybody. We need to love those who are lost. I believe we need to show ourselves friendly. How else are we going to win the lost if we can't be friends with lost people? But when someone alienates themselves from the church body and does not fellowship with friends in the church and only has relationships with people who are lost, there could be danger ahead. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It's black and white with God. He just tells it like it is. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The basic philosophy of a true Christian is worlds apart from our world. The way of thinking, I want to tell you, there's a reason why we don't see eye to eye with everything in our culture. Hopefully you don't see everything eye to eye with our culture. And if you find yourself agreeing with Hollywood, and if you find yourself agreeing with media and agreeing with worldly celebrities, that's cause for concern today. There's a reason why we don't see eye to eye with them, with the politically correct views of today. I tell you, we are worlds apart in our thinking. There's nothing wrong with keeping social contact with those outside the church. But listen to me, when sinners begin to have more influence on saints than saints are having on sinners, when sinners are having more influence on saints than saints are having on sinners, the relationship is unbiblical. And we have a choice to make. Are we going to continue to stand in the way of sinners and be influenced by ungodliness? Or are we going to realize that light has no communion with darkness? And there's some relationships. They're influencing too much me too much with the things of the world. And so I've got to tell some of those friends, listen, I'm not going to live that way and I'm not going to do those things, but I'm going another direction. You're welcome to come along with me, but I can't stay with you in that place. Thirdly, the righteous must not sit in the seat of the scornful. To sit speaks of comfort and relaxation. How can someone who is righteous find comfort and let down their guard in the place of the scornful? We must be careful of being too relaxed in the presence of those who are scornful, those who scorn the things of God, those who scorn spiritual authority, those who speak against biblical values, those who refuse the way of righteousness. Notice the progression here. First of all, he was walking along in the counsel of the ungodly. Then we find him stopping to stand in the way of sinners. And finally, we see him relaxed and sitting in the seat of the scornful. There's a progression with unrighteousness. Perhaps you've heard the song, "It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray. And thoughts invade, choices made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade." There's a progression to unrighteousness. Where does it begin? I believe that slippery slope began with being willing to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then it progresses to stopping to stand, to fellowship in the way of sinners, until finally, what you would have never ever done in the beginning, you find yourself relaxing and at ease at sitting in the seat of the scornful. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I want to tell you today, God wants to prosper you. God wants to bless you. God wants to provide for you, but you've got to do it His way. You've got to delight in the law of the Lord. You've got to receive the way of righteousness. Hallelujah. The righteous do delight in something. We've got to push away the negative influences of the world. And if we want to be blessed, we reject those things of the world. But we've got to receive the Word of God. We've got to delight in the Word of God. Hey, the world despises God's Word. They reject God's Word. But I want to tell you today, the Word of God is true. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Oh, are you thankful for the scriptures given to us by God? How many times we say, well, I don't want the reproof part of that. I don't want the correction part of that. But we need to know. When we've strayed too far. We need to know when our path needs correction. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the unchanging Word of God that can correct us and help us along the way? The Bible is our source of faith. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then? A lot of times people want to stop right there. I'm just going to call on the Lord. Jesus, okay, I'm saved. Let's read on. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In verse 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith, the Bible is the source of our faith. We need to hear preaching. We need to hear teaching of the Word of God. We need to rightly divide the Word of truth. No wonder our faith falters when we miss church. No wonder we struggle spiritually when we're busy or we're working or we're sick or we're drawn aside by other things and we've been away from the house of God. Hey, because we haven't heard the Word of God preached to us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We had better not make life choices and big decisions when we've been away from the house of God, because then we're walking by our flesh instead of walking by faith. Oh, Pastor, we feel to do this, and we feel to move there, and I feel to do that, and I'm thinking, you know what? You haven't even been to church lately. You're not even thinking with the right mind. You're thinking with the flesh. You're thinking with the thoughts of this world. Don't make a spiritual decision if you're not submitted to the Word of God in your life. Hey, we delight in the Word of God. We love the Word of God. It's our source of knowing right from wrong. We can't trust society to point out right from wrong anymore. Society seeks to blend right and wrong until really it's just whatever your flesh wants. But the Word of God shows us right from wrong. Psalms 119 and 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, we need a love of God for the Word. We've got to delight in it. We've got to meditate in it day and night. We've got to hide it in our hearts. And if we do that, David said, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll be a tree that bears fruit. You'll be a tree that doesn't wither. You'll be a tree that prospers. Hallelujah. If you notice, it's a tree that has been planted. It's not just a wild tree out there growing somewhere on its own, but the Lord has chosen us, and he has planted us by the waters of life. Oh, God forbid today that we think we can do it better than God, and so we decide to just plant ourselves wherever we choose. And I tell you, God has planted you where you are for a reason. It may not always seem like that, but God knows what he's doing, and if we'll be faithful, and if we'll remain planted, hey, we have a promise of fruit, the way of the righteous, the way of the righteous. Now the unrighteous, we see them in Psalm 1 and 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff is the outer shell of the grain that is separated and it's blown away by the wind. There'll be nothing left of it in the end. The way of the unrighteous leads to waste. The life of the unrighteous is really just a shell. A shell that at one time contains something so precious and so worthwhile. But after it's spent on the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the pleasures of sin, after it's been spent, there's only an empty shell that's just scattered in the wind. Jesus told Peter that Satan desired to sift him as wheat. Don't you know it's the same for you and I today? Satan is in the business of crushing and bruising and destroying people, robbing them of their fruit before it can grow into what God designed it to be. Don't let him rob you today. Come on, young people, don't let him rob you of your youth. Don't let him rob you of your talent. Don't let him rob you of your holiness. Don't let him rob you of your mind. Don't let him steal away your usefulness to the kingdom of God. I want to tell somebody today, the world promises a whole lot, but in the end, all you'll have left is an empty shell because your life has been spent on worthlessness and nothingness. I want to tell you today, bring what you have to God. It may not be much, but God can take that and he can plant it by the waters of life and he can bring fruit in your season. Oh, come on, somebody stand right now and receive this. Come on, the enemy has told you you have nothing left. The enemy has told you he's stolen your joy. He's taken your potential. But I've come to tell somebody, you bring what you have left and you let God plant it and you let God water it and you let God bless it and you'll grow into a tree that's solid and steadfast. Amen, amen. Come on, I feel it in my spirit today. The enemy has had his sights set on you because he realizes the potential that lies within you. He wants you to think the way of the world. He wants you to go the way of the world. But God is saying, I want you to give you my mind, give my mind to you, give my heart to you, because I'm not of this world, but I'm going to live the way of the righteous because there's a reward. There's blessing. There's a flourishing that comes. Tomorrow, the United States will experience a solar eclipse like we haven't seen since 38 years ago in 1979. Does this eclipse hold greater meaning and significance than what our world realizes? That remains to be seen. Yet we do know from scriptures that God does speak through signs in the heavens. Acts chapter 2, verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. Am I saying that this eclipse today has any tomorrow has anything to do with the end time. I'm saying we need to be open to God's Spirit to speak to our lives. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And we need to be ready. This chapter of Psalms, it clearly defines two types of people. In God's eyes, there's those who are righteous, and there are those who are not. And only the righteous are going to be blessed. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus told a parable of two builders who built homes on two very different foundations. One built on a rock, the other built on sand. What was the difference? What's the most important thing about any structure? The foundation. This parable says the difference between these two foundations, one was rock, the other was sand. But who is the man that built his house on the rock? It was the one that heareth the sayings of Jesus, and read it says, and doeth them. It takes more than just believing today. We must do as well. Our obedience to the Word of God is our foundation in life. Our obedience to what the Word says about us being saved is the foundation to our very experience with God. To say otherwise is to build on sand. It says the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. Let me tell you, the storm is not an option. We don't get to choose whether or not we face the storm. We're going to face the storm. It will happen to everyone. But what is our choice is what foundation we choose. We must be prepared. We must choose the way of righteousness. We must build our lives on the Word of God. There's not a third choice today. There's not a third option. We either choose life, we either choose the righteous, we either choose the godly, or we choose the path of the ungodly and the unrighteous. We either walk with God or we do not. We either build on sand or we build on the rock. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make the choice today whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel it so strongly in my spirit today. I feel it so strongly here in this service. There are some of you that are facing this choice in a greater dimension than you have ever faced it in your life. There's two paths before you. There's two ways of life before you. There's two choices here today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of the past, whether the things we used to live for, Brother Caleb, whether the way we used to think, Brother Pruitt, or the God that's in heaven. He says, choose if you want the God in whose lands ye dwell. There's a lot of people choosing the God of this world today. But as for me and my house, we will choose to live for the Lord. We will serve the Lord. We will put Him first. Oh, come on, I pray today that every person in this house would make that choice, would choose the way of righteousness, would choose to follow God's Word. Who would choose today to follow the leading of His Spirit, to choose the way of righteousness? an old song that says, "For above all else, I must be saved. For above all else, I must be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. For above all else, I must be saved." I wonder if there's anybody that you'd gather around this altar with that prayer. Above all else, God, I must be saved. Above all else, I've got to choose the path of righteousness. Come on, above all else, I've got to choose the way of the godly. I'm not going to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to choose the path of this world. I'm not going to choose the way of unrighteousness. But above all else, I must be saved. Oh, would you find a place of prayer right now, whether you're kneeling or standing or sitting in your seats? Would you make that choice right now? Would you answer that calling right now in the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost for eternity. It's more important that I'm saved. It's more important that my family is saved. God, get a hold of me here today. Reach my heart here today. Thank you.